How many of y'all glad to know we got a God that's full of mercy? And this is real stuff. Real stuff. Well, as we engage relationships, here's my question. How many of you all have seen this go on before? You absolutely are participating in righteous and faithful things and your children are going to hell. Seen that situation before? Parents that have raised their kids up in the ways of the Lord. Parents that have given their kids opportunities to engage in faithful things, and their children just flat end up living just hellish lives. It can happen. And I want to take you to 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, because here's what we want to engage in. First of all, we learn from the prodigal son, it's never too late. It's never too late. Remember last week, Father's Day? It's never too late. We can return to where God wants us to be. It's never too late. But I want to talk to you today about this. Principles and consequences. How many of y'all realize that is in motion no matter what else you do? Good, I'm glad to see some heads shaking from people that are, you know, under 50. Because it's the truth, man. Now listen, I'm here to tell you the truth. And some of y'all are going to go, oh, Ayers, you going off today. You just going off today. No, I'm going to give you an opportunity to really embrace some principles. Now here's the thing. It's going to get you sometime. And guys, I don't know about you, but I'm a little nervous. You know, I live in a nation where 17 teenagers in New Hampshire made a pact to get pregnant. Does this bother y'all? Does this bother y'all, or we just go, that's New Hampshire, they do stuff like that? No, stuff trickles down. People get weird ideas. And listen, I can't change the whole world, but guess what? We together can make a difference. You see my theory? And we got to start standing on some things that matter. Because you know what? People just, listen, they compromise. And so parents, I want to be encouragement to you today. Listen, part of being faithful to God is raising your children. You can have all this religious paraphernalia, jump up and down, go to ever focus on the family seminar. You know, in fact, I remember at one time we had all these moms. They was all praying for their children. I gave them a radical idea. I said, why don't you try raising them? Instead of being at a conference every weekend learning how to pray for them, why don't you get at home with them and actually be where they are? Pay attention to what's going on. What do y'all think about that radical idea? Yeah, there's a radical idea. I had a mom that was in touch. We saw her. She was a part of it. I thank you, moms. I thank you all. I see y'all at football practice. I see y'all getting them knot-headed boys of yours in the car and out of the car. Robin, I thank you. I see your two boys. They say, guess what? And y'all going to say, well, you're just an old-fashioned Southern boy. You're right. You're right. But there's some principles that are principles. They say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and they say yes, sir, and they say no, sir. And mama, here's what I'm telling you. There's a payoff to that someday, whether it's popular or not. And everybody's going to say, well, we're liberated now. I'll tell you what we're liberated. We're liberally going to hell. That's what we're doing right now. That's how liberated we are. Here's what happens. Sometimes when you get liberated, you get stupid. How many of y'all have ever seen a stupid, liberated person? I had a Labrador Retriever like that one time. Dumber than a rock. And you know what? You kept him on the chain. You kept him on the chain. He can only go so far, Mickey. You know what I'm talking about? Then I'd go give that dog freedom. I'd take a chain off that dog. He'd run into garbage cans, hit the side of the house, run. Dumb dog. He didn't know what to do with his what? Freedom. Now, parents, we got freedom to invest in our children. So that's the first word I want to give you. Parents, I'm proud of you. I'm excited of what's going on in this church. And we're going to pick it up a next level. Because guess what? All you single girls, guess what? All you single girls, I'm praying for you all the time. I'm not kidding. I pray, Melissa, I pray for all of y'all that guess what? You get a great husband. And one day you're going to have kids, and I pray that we raise up a great generation. How many of y'all, and I love, you know, I love seeing them boys back there, them two, I tell you what, they're ready to go. Look at them. They're even paying attention now. They're grinning. I love them. Dr. Cox, I love to watch Dr. Cox. Dr. Cox got a household full of women, and they just wear him out all the time. I just laugh. But I told him he's a lot stronger than me. He's teamed up. He's got 3-on-1. It only takes 2-on-1 for me, and I crumble. But you know what? We got to raise our kids. And Children are very important to this church. And y'all going to hear that over and over again, because you know what? I don't want 17 teenage girls from Hillview Heights Church making a pact to get pregnant when they're 17. In fact, I don't want our 17-year-old girls to have had sex yet. I want us to have the most beautiful, beautiful young girls in the city who walk in the ways of the Lord and who got attitude. You know what I'm talking about? Some guy, you know, hey, honey, you ought to. She goes, listen, you too broke to mess with me. You need to understand I'm royalty. And until you get equipped to love me, I ain't loving you. Now, what if we got a generation with that kind of attitude? Would that have a consequence? Sheriff, that'd slow some of your business down. You need a little slowing on your business right now. We got a lot of people just, they don't think there's going to be a consequence. And then Peanuts comes in and they go, what are you doing here? I'm here to arrest you. Well, I'm telling my mom, good, I'm going to arrest her too for not raising you. Eventually, there's a consequence. And I don't care how holy you are, there's still a consequence to wickedness. Can everybody hear that? What did I just say? Okay, did y'all hear that too? How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe this? I can just do whatever I want to do as long as I want to do it and everything's going to turn out all right. Welcome to America. We are headed down that road. Just nothing matters. You do your thing. I do my thing. We hold hands together, sing kumbaya at the end, and it's all going to be all right. How many of y'all believe that? You better listen to your TV, because that's what you're hearing day in and day out, that every one of us can do what we want to do, and it's all going to be all right. Listen, I tell you how to get insurance, get a job. I tell you how to move in life, get a what? Job, and I don't want to hear there ain't no jobs out there. 25 million Hispanics found one and can't even speak English. And if they didn't have enough money, guess what they got? No, they didn't get a job. They got two jobs. I heard them talking this morning. They were talking about all these kids that couldn't make it through college. Let me give you a radical idea about how you fund college. This is an old-fashioned idea. Old, ancient time. The 80s. This is from the 80s when there were big hair, big cars, big rock bands, heavy metal. Okay? ZZ Top was on and she had legs. This is the 80s. You ready? And guess what we did if we didn't have money to go to college? It's a radical concept. It's the most radical thing in the world. We got a job and went to college at the same time. Oh my gosh! We like worked for nothing, and the same people that make over $250,000 a year, you know, that are so bad and evil and mean, those were the same people that were flipping burgers at McDonald's while they were getting their education 25 years ago. Yeah. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a consequence to everything. But there's definitely a consequence to wickedness. Now, go with me to 1 Samuel. I'll go over some principles here. I hope that you can embrace these today. Parents, I want to lift you up. Get involved with your kids. Now, the first thing you need to do is you need to teach your children to regard the Lord. They need to be aware there is a God. God loves them. And there's consequences when you step away from what God says. Make sense? I've told you all this before. One reason we have a health care crisis is we have a sexual immorality crisis. One of the reasons we are ripped with poverty, they're not going to tell you this, is because we're ripped with single mothers. Because we've raised up a bunch of men that have no fortitude, that won't act like men, and won't care for their families. Well, that got it quiet. The reason we have single mothers is because we don't have any men. Men, you're going to hear it from Hillview. You may not like to hear it, but we got to get with it. Listen to this. Gentlemen, if you take on a wife and children, guess what? Those are yours. Till death do you part. So here's what I say. Choose wisely on the front end. And I'll give you a hint. All that glitters is not gold. You know why we have so many bad marriages? It's because we get hooked on surface issues. That's why we have so many divorces. I got so many guys tell me. I said, what in the world did you marry a woman like that for anyway? She's pretty. You better get beyond she's pretty. Because ain't nobody real pretty early in the morning. Both sides of the deal, amen? Can she think? Does she believe? Does she regard the Lord? Here's what happened to Eli. Eli is a priest. He comes from the priestly order. And let's look what happens to him. 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, verse 12. Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. Eli, who's a priest, who obviously loves the Lord deeply, his sons have no regard for the Lord. So the first point in the relationship of parenting is this. Teach your children to have regard for the Lord. Now, parents, here's what I'm telling you. Your job is to expose them to Jesus. You cannot make them receive it. Everybody hear me on that? You can take your kids to church and Bible study and youth group and get them involved in all of these wonderful things, but guess what? They can choose to be rebellious little human beings. Does everybody understand that? But here's the way I look at it. My kids aren't going to be able to put their rebellion on my account. They're going to go, Daddy, Daddy, Mama, Mama, you tried your best to show us the great ways of life. We refused it, we refused it, we refused it. What I'm telling you is this. Don't get so religious you forget your children. You know, Eli was very religious, and here's what he did. He turned his head the first time they disregarded what they were supposed to do. Now, parents, how many of you all have a habit of turning your head when they do something that seems small? Any of y'all ever done that? Because let me tell you what, this parenting thing is tough, isn't it? Because you know what? You got to get involved with them. And they take up your time. How many of y'all have ever ignored something besides me? I've done that before as a pastor. I just went, oh man, we'll get to that later. Well, guess what? Anything in my children's life that I said we'll get to later, guess what? It becomes bigger later. How many of y'all have ever seen that? And guess when it starts, young couples? Guess what? When they're born, don't wait till they're 15. It's too what? Because let me tell you what, if they're kung fu fighting at age 2, they'll be gang fighting at age 12. You've got to get on top of it. And it's going to take time. It's going to take energy. And here's one of the things that happens. As you build your relationship to the Lord as a parent, here's what you've got to understand. You've got to be a giver. And here's what parents don't understand. As soon as you have a child, your life's not yours anymore. So if you're 17 and thinking about being pregnant, I'd wait a while. There's a lot of fun things to get done from 17 till whenever you want to get married and have children. How many of y'all realize that when you have a kid, your life as you know it has ceased. It's no longer about you. It's about what? How many of y'all believe that? I'm just taking a human survey. Oh, thank God. We got a few left. God said there'd be a remnant. Mickey and Jane, I thank God for the way you're raising your children. They say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. They're respectful of people in position because they know the people in position lead to their blessing. I'm glad you decided to leave a blessed family. Amen? Mickey, I'm glad you stood up as an African-American brother and said, I'm going to be a daddy that raises my children, stays with my wife, and they can't make any social report on me. Hello? Amen. Now, that's a big witness, Jane. Amen? See, I ask people all the time, I say, well, I can't do, you know, I come from a culture. I said, go see Mickey and Jane. They come from the same culture you do. Explain that. So here's what I'm telling you. You can always find an excuse for why you go to hell. Is that clear enough? There's always a reason. And here's the reason. You don't regard God as the Lord. Now, we got to step up here. I don't know about y'all, but it's time to step up in the church. I don't know how much longer we got to step up. God's been really patient, in my opinion. What do you all think? But God needs His people to walk in His ways in this moment of time. Now, Eli forgot he had two sons, and he forgot to discipline these two sons when they disregarded first things. You know what Eli's boys were doing? Ripping off the sacrifice. Now, here's the principle. They were taking instead of what? Giving. Red, guess who your life belongs to? Thank you. That is a very good answer for a defensive lineman. And they say we're not smart. No, Red, watch this. How many of y'all excited to know? Red, you 15 or 14 now? 14. Did a 14-year-old red-headed nose guard knows his life is Jesus? Now, hold on. Who does your life belong to? It sure does. It sure does. Who does your life belong to? Jesus. So if I regard Jesus, what's Jesus going to do? Check this out. He is going to bring His eternal life through my earthly moment. But my life belongs to who? Jesus. Now, Eli forgot, who do those sons belong to? Eli, those are your sons that belong to me. You have a responsibility to what I've given you. Now, parents, we got to wake up to this. I want you to raise your children. It's tough. It's not easy. They're a pain. That's the truth. Children are painful at times. Amen? How many of y'all have this? Children, they do stuff that just you don't want them to do. Sometimes they do stuff you want them to do. Sometimes they make you proud, and sometimes they make you what? Want to pull your hair out. That's why there's so many bald daddies. And if you have daughters, it's three times worse. Because here's the problem with having a daughter. She's already smarter than you on the get-go. Yeah. My daughter can think of more strategies. I don't have a computer to follow her strategies. Now, Blake I can get. Because I know he's going here because he thinks he's going to get here. And so I arrive here and go, checkmate. Clacy, she goes here, and I thought she was going here, but she went down here, and then she goes, here I am. See what I'm saying? You got to be careful. Eli did not regard his total ministry, in my opinion. Your total ministry, part of your total ministry, and a precious part of that ministry is your children. And we believe that here at Hillview in a deep way. Guess what? Parents. You got a youth group here in this church that spends hours for high-quality ministry. I'm not telling you what to do, but my children wouldn't have an option to that. My children don't have an option to that. And I don't want to hear about your athletics. I have a collegiate athlete in my house that went to youth group every Wednesday night that did not put that first, but put that second. I've had to say, Clacy's had to say some people, sorry, I can't play with you. We don't play on Sundays. And they go, well, we play on Sundays. That's fine. We don't play on Sundays. I figure you got 6 days a week to do things. If you got to do it on Sunday, it's not worth doing. You can always get to worship, especially at Hillview, 8, 9:30, 11. Don't you think you can get one of those slots? Wednesday night, Monday nights. Okay, it's possible. Don't disregard the things of the Lord because they lead to other things. Now go with me to verse 22. I could go through all the sacrifices. Here's what was going on. The priests were disregarding the sacrifice. You can read about that. Okay? But I want you to know, teach your children to regard the Lord. If not, here's what happens. Go with me to verse 22. Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Here's what I'm going to try to explain to you. When you disregard little things, you'll end up in tragic things. How many of y'all understand? Sin does not start out in a big moment. It starts out with what? Small things. Well, I've sinned before. Have any of y'all ever sinned? You just flat out did what God told you not to do. How many of y'all have ever done that? Guess what mine starts out with? I don't know how y'all says. How's y'all's work? I have a thought before I have an action. I have a temper. That can ruin my witness quicker than anything. And I get around stuff. And listen, I can get around any mechanical piece of machinery and it'll break. I don't care what. I'm scared to fly sometimes. I don't sit near the engines. I always like to go in the back or in the middle. I don't want to even see the engine because I know if I look out the window and see the engine, something will go out on it. Now, here's the problem. When I have something go wrong, the first thought I have, watch, I always have a thought because I don't know about y'all. Anybody here, anybody else got a temper? How many? Ooh, ladies got tempers, amen. Hey, for those of you all that are temperamental, how many of y'all feel that heat that starts at your feet and it starts just coming up your legs and it gets here. And it goes on hold about right here. Now, if you notice, though, it gives you a moment before you blurt. True? I can feel it and I go, oh, I'm fixing to lose my witness. And how many of you all already hear what you are ready to say in your head? How many of you know that sometimes a lot of it's not godly? And guess what? Now becomes a what? A choice. In fact, I even had a buddy the other day. I was up late and some stuff was tore up. And he was a good friend here at the church. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, if you need me to surrogate cuss for you, I will." And I thought, that ain't bad. I've needed a surrogate cusser for a long time. That's a gift. He laughed. He said, "Stuff tears up on me too. I know exactly how you feel." I said, "Brother, just you sharing that with me has comforted me down a little bit. We got to work together to not disregard the Lord and stay in His principles." Now look, they disregarded the sacrifice, and now He's disregarding the women. And disregard of the Lord leads to destruction of life. And that's basically the sermon I want you to hear today. And it's time for us to build foundations. In fact, outside, right in that big hole, that's not a swimming pool. All right? Guess what that is? That is the foundation for a foundation. I'm glad to know that the youth, that'll be the 7th graders to the 12th graders, they're going to be in the lower level of that facility. They're going to be where the foundation is. Because guess what? From the 7th grade to the 12th grade, we want to make sure that foundation is cured rock solid when they walk up that ramp and into the world to go make a difference in the name of Jesus. Now, Eli's sons disregarded the Lord, Salem, and then guess what happened? They went crazy with the women at the tent. And Eli had to hear the report, and look what he said. Go with me. "So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours.' 'No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may meditate or mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death.'" Now, here's what I want you to know. If you stay in rebellion from God, you'll die. You know what scares me every Sunday? Not everybody that comes to Hillview receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Scares me to death. Scares me every Sunday because you know what? Here's the false gospel I'm up against every Sunday. Some of you all believe you're going to be good enough to go to heaven. Isn't that true? Let's get down to what people really believe. You believe you're a good person. You believe you've been to Kiwanis Club. You know, you gave 50 cents to help some blind people get some glasses or whatever. You know, you've been a pretty good person. And when you die, you're going to be all right because you're better than your neighbor was. That's rebellion to what God said. God said we've all sinned. We've all messed up. We all have violated God's word. So God sent the word so that we could be reestablished with Him in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of y'all are going to embrace that? Here's what I want you to know. Not receiving what God offers leads to death. That has been consistent with God. True? God told the people, watch. Now, here's what I love about God. Here's what I love about God, Richard. He tells you what's on the test before He gives the test. God's real fair. He said, here's the boundaries. Here's the principles, but we tend to believe what? There are no boundaries and principles. So parents, I want to encourage you, put boundaries and principles in that house. Is that okay? Fathers, how many of you parents have sat down and said, these are the principles of our house? There's some good. Amen. Thank you, sister. That's what needs to be done. If I can give you all, listen, I'm talking conceptual parenting, okay? All I can tell you is what works up to 19. That's as far as I go right now in practicality. But I found some things that I consistently see working in people's lives. Have those principles. In the Ayers house, you don't quit. That's a principle. No matter what. No matter what you get into, you will finish it. We do not care if it hurts you emotionally, psychologically, if it's tough, if it's engaging, because after you finish that, you'll know never to get in that again. But you finish it. Well, the coach doesn't like me. I don't care if the coach doesn't like you. You still got to finish. Your boss is not going to like you. One day you're going to be married. Your wife won't like you. I can guarantee that. And one day you're going to have children, and your children won't like you always. You're going to have to learn how to get through life even when it gets tough. Because it's just some tough stuff. I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm living in a world that says we can do whatever we want to do and it's all going to work out. And I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, that's a lie out of hell. There are consequences for every decision, no matter who says it. True? You know why a lot of people don't have jobs? Because they disregarded their seventh grade teacher when they said you needed to sit down and learn how to read. Amen. They disregarded that coach that said you need to stay with this. You know how many people have disregarded a full scholarship to a university to be equipped? Millions! Because instead of staying in those studies, they decided to go out and peddle a little marijuana. Now let me ask y'all a question. Whose fault is that? Anybody know? Theirs! Theirs! And it's the parents' fault for making it theirs. I love my daddy. I mean, I love him, I love him, I love him. And I thank God every day I get to, you know, he and I still get to talk here in this dimension. You know what my dad did? He loved me so much, he never put a pillow under my choices. When I was got ready to fall down and bust my rear end, guess what he did? He let me bust my rear end. Because guess what he knew? Rear end busting did not lead to death. It led to pain. And my father was a full believer that pain is the best teacher in the world. Now follow me here though. In the world we live in today, what are we constantly trying to get rid of? Why? Huh? To numb us to the consequence. I did it yesterday. I took two of them Advils or whatever, and guess what? I was at the lake, and Blake, they were calling me names, and I acted like a 12-year-old kid, and I got on a ski device called a wakeboard, which I shouldn't have been on in the first place, and they said I couldn't jump as high as they did, and I can't. But see, under Advil, I didn't have the awareness of me. Y'all follow me? So I flew out there on the side of the boat, and all of a sudden I leaned back a little more, and I thought, by gosh. I mean, all of a sudden I felt 21 again. I felt abs appearing under my life jacket that's sticking out here. I even have to hold the rope different now. And I launched myself up into the air. Midway in the air, the Advil wore off. And as I hit the water and went over and over and tumbled and water's everywhere, and they turned the boat around real quick, and I'm pulling this board off of my feet and I'm coming toward the boat, they're laughing. They said, "That's a great jump. You soared into the air." The landing, however, we've never seen a body fly in as many different directions. Now, what caused me to do that? Advil. See, if I hadn't taken the Advil, I'd have stood up in a boat, and the boat would have rocked, and I'd have felt my old creaky knees go, and I'd go, "You know what, boys, I'll show you videos to show you all that none of you all were as bad as me at your age." But what did I have to do? I avoided the pain. Now, guess what I know today? I'm not 21, so next Saturday I'm going to go back there, and I'm just going to ride real easy. And they're going to look and say, "Can you make a jump?" I don't have to. I'm not 19. I don't have to prove I'm cool. I know I am. And I'm going to be so cool. Watch this. I'm going to be so cool. I'm going to be able to hobble better in the morning. Makes sense? Consequences are truth. And I'm just giving you the reality of this scripture. And let me give you one other thing. Even when God has to make judgment with wickedness, He always gives grace. And I want to leave us on that today. He always gives grace. Because I want you to look at Samuel. Here's what happened. The house of Eli lost its position. And here's what happens. Verse 34. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you that they will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Now what happened to these two boys? They died on the same what? Now God didn't leave them, but they didn't live out the promise that they would have received because they involved themselves in behaviors that avoided the promise. Y'all got this down? So let me ask you a question. Would I be a pastor worth anything if I didn't tell you the truth? God has some oomph, and He's serious. God expects, if you make a promise, it to be fulfilled. Pretty cool, isn't it? Because here's what God does. God's made a promise, and He fulfilled it. Does that make sense? So He raises up. Guess who He raises up? Guess who He raises up? Samuel. Guess what Samuel does? He anoints King Saul and King David. And David is the direct line to who? Jesus. So how many of y'all are glad to know that even in the midst of unfaithfulness, when you hear from God, He'll always be faithful and He'll bring something out of whatever. But really, it's much better to be faithful. Amen? How many of you parents want your children to have a better life than you did? Man, I hope you have that heartbeat. We're on our way to doing that and establishing that. All right, I'm finished. Any questions? I'm serious. Any questions? Did this make sense today? Go read that second chapter. I gave you highlights to bring some principles in today on relating. So parents here today, how many of y'all going to keep your children faithful? It starts. Ben and Haley, guess what? It's going to be sooner than you think. I know you're only getting married in August, but it's sooner than you think. Day one. Now here's what I want to thank God for. Day one here at Hillview Heights Church. Here's your promise from your pastoral staff. Day one, these babies will start knowing the faithfulness of God. Day one. That nursery isn't about babysitting. It's about exposing your children to the grace of God. So we're going to work along with you. Does that make sense? Guess what? We got some great children's ministry here. Vacation Bible School, I was so excited. I got to be at the first one and the last one. And I want to thank every one of you that worked in it. Over 500 kids participated in Vacation Bible School. Hold on. That's 2,000 people connected to these children. Because now most kids don't have a mom and a dad. They have a mom and a dad and a mom and a dad. So that's 4 other people. And then we got grandparents. Y'all see this? And I want you to know children are important. Coach Riley, I appreciate you, man, all those years. You built some foundations, brother. Thanks. You know how I know? I've met the men that were under your coaching, not the boys. You had them when they were boys. I've met the men. Good job. Well planted. I think people need to know people that do good jobs. Amen? Y'all okay with that? So let's plan it. Don't disregard the things of God in their life. Is this making sense? Watch out on the little things, because the little things lead to the what? Big things. And God's going to bless this place. He's going to bless you. All right, does this make sense? Young man, did you get this today? All right, you got a fine mom and dad, amen? Give me your first name. Tyler? How old are you? 15. That's a good age. Couple years away from handling a vehicle, right? You looking forward to that? Amen. You got like a lot of investments going on now, so you can afford the gas to run around on Friday night? Okay, good deal, good deal. Tyler, watch this. Your mom and dad follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me? So watch this. They're putting principles of God into your life. Now, if you choose not to receive those principles, guess who that's going to mess up? Bingo, you. And guess what God wants to pour through you and your brother? The things in the household of God. Does this make sense? Now, this is the way it works. You can get mad at me if you want to. Pastor Steve, we didn't do that with this and that. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it works. There's just some things you don't do. You know, you don't spit in the wind. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't mess with Jim, and you don't disregard the Lord's principles. That makes sense? Don't mess with Wonder Woman either. She'll whip you. Y'all got this? Y'all been great today. I want to just have a prayer right now that if anybody needs to receive Christ, they would today. Amen? And so good to see all you young couples here. You know, people tell me all the time, well, young people won't come to church. I say, really? Come and see. People tell me all the time, teenagers need it easy. I don't believe teenagers need it easy. Guess what I believe? I believe they need it tough. I think teenagers can handle it straight. I think it's parents that like to mix it. You ought to hear Reverend Lieutenant Shane preaching youth group. Y'all think I'm bad? He lays it on the line. Why? He's on a mission. He don't want to see our children messed up. He wants to see them blessed. That makes sense? Let God have His way. Today, if you've done some wicked things, how many of y'all have ever done wicked things before? Well, guess what? Only half of you. Y'all lying to me. Y'all done wicked things. I've done wicked things. Now what? We've all done some wicked things. Now here's the good news. There's a Father in heaven who sent Jesus Christ, His Son, so that we could be forgiven. Now here's where you can't disregard the Lord. You got to repent. You heard Tyler and Reagan today in the baptism. Guess what they did? They confessed what had happened to them. They said, I realize that I'm a sinner disconnected to God. I've asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I know He's forgiven me, and I want to confess that in baptism. Does that make sense? I want to confess that in baptism. That's called great life. Make sense? And so today I want to ask you, man, come to know Jesus. Don't disregard that anymore. If you haven't been baptized, we welcome you to the baptistry. If you need to just come and pray over your beautiful family, we're going to pray. Have I made it clear today that we're going to work with you in parenting these kids? And I don't care where they come from, kids. I don't care if you come from a broken home, a old home, almost a home. I don't care. We're going to make something great in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to stop. Amen? Elizabeth's daddy, we were talking about her a little bit, and her daddy's words, her daddy implanted something into my life, and I keep hearing him. And Elizabeth, I hear him more now than I did when he's alive. He would always tell Elizabeth and I this. He'd take his finger and he was always smiling. If you knew Henry Moss, he's always smiling. And every time we left the house, he'd go, y'all stay at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. He'd point his finger. Keep at it. Keep at it. I said, Henry, how do you get things done? He said, keep at it. And then you didn't ask him that too much toward the latter days, because then you would go through the formation of the Warren County schools all over again, so you were careful. And he'd say, I remember when Warren Central didn't have one instrument, but we stayed at it till they had a whole band. Well, you know what? We're going to stay at it to this campus and the next campus, and all of those things are done so that our children will have a foundation forever and ever. Amen? Amen? All right, if you need Jesus Christ today, come on. Today's the day of your salvation, all right? Maybe day you just need to come and pray. Maybe you're just hurting. God loves you. And even in the midst of wickedness, He will raise up one who is faithful to His heart. There's a lot of babies in here today. Here's what's so cool about babies. Who knows what that baby's going to be? Amen? So let's raise them all up. Amen? You know, Zane over here, he might be the next pastor of Hillview Heights Church. And Zane might be saying, I remember an old pastor at Hillview, Pastor Ayers, said, we can do more together than apart. And now as you all go out to your flying saucers and fly home. He was an ancient pastor. He was a part of the old age. And here we are running our flying saucers on lettuce. God's still working. Amen? Y'all laugh and you wait. We're going to look from heaven and you're going to go, "Hey, Ayers, you know they're using lettuce down." I told y'all, 208. Let's stand, let God bless. Amen. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for young men and women here today and old men and women here today, faithful, disenchanted, busted up, not sure. God, you are sure. You really are. And so just hear me today. If you need to ask Christ in your life, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," just tell Him right now. "Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've been sitting in this church for 4 years, God. I know that crazy preacher of ours. I know he's telling the truth, and I want you in my life. Jesus, I'm sorry for being the sinner I am. I'm sorry I broke the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry I messed up. Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want to get real with you, Jesus. I want to get real with you, Jesus." Because He's already wanting to get real with you. Man, bring him kids up here today and say, "Lord, we're going to pray." If you're not married yet, singles, come on up here and pray today. Those of you that are still single, it's okay to be single. You might want to be single for a lifetime. That's not a bad deal. But if God wants you to be married, "Dear Lord, I want the one you want for me." If you are a parent of a daughter, I'd start praying that prayer as soon as they're born. I have dreams for Clacy. I want her to marry a billionaire that loves her father-in-law. I have really started praying that. Let's pray. God, you got our attention. You got this altar. You love everybody here beyond our understanding. That's true. God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that several people receive you today. And I pray right now that we would be open to your love and your joy. But we would also be open to your correction and rebuke so that we might be better. So God, help us just listen. In the name of Jesus, this altar's open. Would you all come and pray? Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for 17 teenagers who decided to get pregnant in New Hampshire. Let's pray that we would be God's people and offer God's hope and power in a world that can be really messed up at times. But I got a God that won't mess you up. Amen. So if you've never been baptized, come. Let's talk about that. If you need to be saved, let's come and talk about that. If you need to just be prayed over, come and talk about that. You may need to come and say, "Hey, Ayers, I want to have lunch with you this week because I'm not sure about this whole Jesus thing." That's great, but I need to know how to call you if we're going to have lunch. You don't have to make an instant decision, but you need to make a decision. So come on right now and let's just let God move. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on.